Yo! What's going on, chumps? This is the Fantasy Chumps podcast. Your quote-unquote experts here, Layton. And I'm going to pass on to the guys to actually know what they're talking about. John, Nate, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I'm 500 on the fantasy season so far. Still got four survivor picks that are alive. I'm not thrilled, but I'm treading water, so it's been all right.
It is funny you say that, because I counted it up today after John gave us the total record spread. I am also exactly 500 across 10 leagues that I'm in. That includes dynasty leagues, family leagues, joke leagues, whatnot. Yeah, that is family leagues and joke leagues are can be bunched into one if you want to.
Yeah.
If you want to go that route. But yeah, 500. We've got a couple. I think through 4 weeks in our main league, I'm starting to feel, even though I'm 500, I'm starting to feel much more comfortable with how my roster is shaking out. I'll toss that back over to you, John. John, I know you had a little bit of some struggles through 2 weeks, but
yeah,
two dub streak so far. You starting to feel a little bit better?
Yes and no. You should keep quiet, Owen. So yeah, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Debo had a good week this week. Kyle Pitts sucks. We'll talk about that later. Breece Hall, Christian McCaffrey. Like, I hope Kyler can figure it out, and I hope he's a top five quarterback. It's one of those situations where you know your roster is good. It just hasn't worked out so far. And I'm to the point now where I'm not, like, dying to make a trade, because I think that I have just as good of a starting lineup as anybody else in the league. And any given week, I can win. Mm-hmm. Given like one above average performance from someone in my starting lineup.
Yeah, definitely. I think that what we saw from Christian McCaffrey too this week, I feel like that just kind of put a lot of concerns to rest finally of just what that Christian McCaffrey floor really is. He didn't even really get anything going in the run game. He looked like Nick Chubb through 3 weeks, putting up a couple hundred yard rushing games. That's not really his player type. But then we see just how easy it is for him to get a 25 point performance when he catches 9 balls for 80 yards. That's just that's why you go get him with the first overall pick. I think so far you'd be winning that between Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor if you had to decide between those two guys.
Yeah,
4 weeks. But Layton, how about you? Any updates from you on from Get on the Board?
Nope.
All right, should we get into the question of the day?
Yeah, it sounds like more fun.
All right, fantastic. I just got a couple hours ago. I got a text from a good buddy of mine. His name's Christian. He's a fan of the show. Shout out, Christian. Thank you for submitting this question. But he had a little bit of a situation where he asked me which player he should start going into week 4 this week. So this is, you guys haven't heard this yet, but he's asking me if he should start Damian Pierce ahead of Leonard Fournette in his league. His other starting running back is Austin Eckler. And his flex position is Chris Olave. So maybe not even a Leonard Fournette or Damien Harris start, but would you put Damien Harris in your starting lineup going into this week? Damien Pierce, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that one's a little easier to answer. I think I'm turning into a bit of a Damien Pierce truther. That one's not hard for me. I'm starting Damien Pierce 10 times out of 10. He's got the hot hand. He's got I mean, it's not a better offense, but he has a better share of the offense in Houston compared to Leonard Fournette. Now that Mike Evans is back in the lineup, Chris Godwin's back in the lineup. They also have, you know, an incredibly deep wide receiver position. And, there's a tight end. I want to say that he's a rookie in Tampa. Cade Otton. Brady kind of likes Cade. Leonard Fournette and Rashad White, he's kind of emerged a little bit, especially last week. So, yeah, I'm fading Fournette hard. Might be a buy low candidate, but start Damian Pierce in that one for sure.
Wade, what are your thoughts on that? You agree with John?
I don't. So I do what John said based on how this year's gone. I would not start Pierce because he's playing the Jags. And low-key, the Jags actually have a really good, like, D-line linebacker core. So I would personally start Leonard Fournette. So was your friend's name Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should start Damian Pierce then.
fade every Layden take.
So yeah,
that's right. At least you're self-aware.
I thought the Chiefs would lose this past weekend. They won. You know, I think the Raiders are going to upset us too. So I'm just going to.
Nice. Love it. Good vibes. Good vibes.
Yeah. Yep. This one's kind of tricky. I don't know what to make of ESPN opposing rankings or like matchup rankings. Really, I don't really know where they get those rankings from. So I'm looking at Damian Pierce's player card right now, playing Jacksonville, who's actually ranked 26th in the league, which you said they have a good defensive line, good linebacker core. I kind of agree with you, and that's what I thought. But for some reason, they must be giving up a lot of fantasy points to running backs through the first 4 weeks. I know they gave up a lot to, both Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders last week in that slop fest of a game. So Damian Pierce, that is kind of a favorable matchup for him by ESPN's ranking. And on the flip side, Leonard Fournette's going against Atlanta, who I did not think had as good of a defensive front. But lo and behold, they're ranked 10th against running back scoring. So I'm still probably taking Leonard Fournette. I think you kind of saw what his floor was last week, even in a game where he kind of got game scripted. And we saw a lot of Rashad White. Leonard Fournette still put up 18 points, just catching a few screen passes and, you know, I don't even think – he didn't even get in the end zone at all, and he still had a pretty good performance. So I see Tampa kind of getting back to the run game a bit more. I'm starting Leonard ahead of Damian Pierce if it was me. But
so I just did a quick search to see – Yeah, I'm not totally sure that this is accurate. This says that – the Jags give up on average 25.6 points to opposing running backs in full PPR and fantasy, but that's to the running back position. So it's not just to an individual. The Rams, that ranks 26th actually. So they are the 26th weakest run defense for fantasy points allowed. The Bucs play the Falcons, and they are the 11th best defense. They allow 19.5 points per game to the running back position. That's according to, what is this, lineups.com. So
that just doesn't seem right with the way Jonathan Taylor played and the way Austin Eckler played against the Jags. But
I'm going to send this link to you guys so that you can see it. It's actually kind of interesting, though.
I'm sure it was just skewed heavily because of the Eagles' performance. Because obviously the Eagles are really good at running the ball, so that probably, you know, helped out a little bit.
This, I believe this is just to the running back position, but yeah, it was still a big performance though, for sure. So
yeah, because like the Eagles, I think ran for like over 200 yards against them.
It's still early though. Like you definitely get a good feel for it. Ironically, the Chiefs are the 28th worst.
Yeah, but we get the lowest rushing yards. It doesn't make any sense.
Back to the question, kind of. I have heard a lot of like Leonard Fournette's kind of snap count so far, how he's been getting like 85, like 90% of the work so far through the first three games. And I think the kind of the narrative is that's not very sustainable. So I'm still probably starting Leonard Fournette here. I kind of trust the player more. I trust the offense more, even if you see the snap share go down a bit for him, see Rashad White getting worked into the system more. I just think they love winning in Tampa. I think he's an auto slot for me there, but it's definitely an interesting question. If you were to turn that into a Damian Pierce or Chris Olave, I think that's more maybe a different question. But I'd kind of like the wide receiver upside with Olave. But
very
kind of an interesting one. But yeah, so thanks again, Christian, for submitting the question. Hope that helps. I'll text you back once we are done recording, buddy.
No, you just don't listen to the episode.
Yeah, ooh. There you go.
Yeah.
That's how you bury the lead, baby. But all right, back to you, host.
Oh, John's hosting this one. My morale for fantasy football is in the toilet. So
good grief. Okay, so on this episode, we're going to talk about rookies and their performances so far in this fantasy season. Some of the notable ones that at least have made an impact to this point: Damian Pierce, who we just spoke of. Drake London, Romeo Doubs, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, George Pickens, and Breece Hall. Ken Walker obviously hasn't really been a factor so far. And then, I mean, Tyler Allgeier could have an opportunity this week, but again, they're playing the Bucks, so probably not a favorable matchup. But we just talked about Pierce, but what do you guys think of Pierce so far? I mean, he's had back-to-back great performances. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Pierce. The last 2 weeks, he's at 18.1 and 25.9 fantasy points. He's been more involved in the passing game. He only had 8 receiving yards last week, but he had 6 receptions. So,
how
Davis,
is that?
how do you do panic. That's panic, I think. So Davis Mills, obviously not the most competent quarterback. He's got a big neck, but how do you guys feel about Damian Pierce? Is this legit? Is he going to continue it? What do you expect for the rest of the season?
I think he'll be, I think he's only, you know, just getting started. Kind of like you were alluding to, the first 2 weeks, he really didn't do much, but then these past 2 weeks, he's really blown up a little bit more. You started to see a lot more targets. You saw he got 6 catches last week for 8 yards. But, you know, the attempts are there, and that's kind of what matters, getting more of that target share. Kind of has a tough week against Jacksonville, but, you know, after that, I mean, it's not like they play in the toughest division in the world, so.
They probably play in the weakest division in the NFL right now.
Yes.
It's up there. Nate, definitely. How are you feeling about Pierce rest of the season?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Pierce so far. I think what I'd like to see is that his snap share has gone up incrementally each game. Finished with a 68% snap share in week 4 against the Chargers, which was a good one because they were down big early. And so, I mean, Damian Pierce is the RB1 there, but he didn't get game scripted out when the Texans had to throw the ball more to try and come back. It wasn't like he was getting subbed out for Rex Burkhead, who is kind of the pass catching back in that offense. Actually, Damian Pierce ended up with more targets than Burkhead in week 4. So I think that's a really promising thing, especially for a winless Texans right now, who are probably going to be losing a lot of games and having to come back. If he can get some of those garbage time touches against soft coverages and whatnot, I mean, that's really nice. That's kind of what you love from a running back in a pretty bad offense. So,
yeah. Absolutely. To be as involved as he's been, you know, to be on the Texans, especially in that Chargers game, it's definitely a sign of positive role in the offense. All right, Drake London. He started the year with 5 receptions, for 74 yards, didn't score, scored in the next two games after that, but his receptions have decreased since week two. His targets went 7, 12, 6, and 7, and he only had 3.7 fantasy points last week. How are you guys feeling about him?
Yeah, I can take Drake London first. I mean, he had a really solid start to the year, I think, as a rookie wide receiver. Wasn't really sure how that Atlanta offense was going to look with Mariota at quarterback. But I think Drake London has honestly performed very well through, I would say, you know, 3 weeks. Week four was honestly a very weird game. How the Falcons – Did the Falcons beat the Browns, or were they lost by?
No, they won.
They won. And yeah. I mean, it was with Drake London going for like less than 4 fantasy points and Kyle Pitts going for, I mean, like a sub 5-point game.
Didn't really do 17 anything. Yards.
So yeah. And Cordarrelle Patterson got hurt. And so it was just kind of like, I don't really know how they were able to manufacture a win without those guys being involved, but interesting, I guess. But I like Drake London a lot. I would hope, as a Kyle Pitts owner, that he gets a little bit more involved, becomes kind of the premier guy in that offense as the season goes on. But I think Drake London is a solid wide receiver 3. I would say borderline wide receiver 3 option right now.
Does he have the potential to be like a T. Higgins next year?
I really like
their
that
quarterback. Let's go ahead and assume that Mariota starts for another season.
Oh, I hate that.
I kind of like that player comp, honestly.
I think he could be a T. Higgins next year. I don't think it's far out of the realm of possibility.
My problem go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to pass it over to you.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, my only problem with Drake London, like, he's getting the targets, but at least the past couple weeks, he hasn't caught a lot of them. And I'm sorry to all the Falcons fans. I have not been watching a ton of the Falcons, but when Marcus Mariota is your quarterback and his catch percentage goes down, I don't have a lot of faith. So it's honestly just because of the quarterback. I think he's super talented. Like, if he's on the Chiefs, you know, or somebody with a really good quarterback, I think it'd be a lot better situation.
Yeah. So through 4 weeks, Drake London's averaging a little under 14 fantasy points a game, and he's wide receiver 23. John, do you think Drake London finishes better than wide receiver 23 after the season is over?
I feel like that's like super close to what he'll end up. I mean, yeah, I think he probably finishes better than wide receiver 23. Even though, based off his performances, that's tough to maintain. But I would be shocked if on the year he has more than 2 games worse than week 4. And I think he'll be more in that range of week 1 and week 3, which probably gets you in the top 30 for wide receiver. And then maybe if you pop off a couple weeks outside of that. So, yeah, I think if I had to bet, I'd rather have 1 through 23 than 24 plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's close. It's very close, for sure.
Yeah, I think I might be with you.
Yeah, I'd probably take under, unfortunately. So, yeah, he'll probably get over.
Yeah. Romeo Doubs. The Packers, obviously, they spent some draft capital on the wide receiver position for the first time in a while. A second-round pick is a big deal for the Packers organization to draft a wide receiver. Not where Romeo Doubs went. Christian Watson was the guy that we thought it was going to be. Now Doubs, he's had back-to-back performances of 20.3 and 12.7 points. I got Doubs in the 4th round of our Dynasty rookie draft. Oh my goodness. Like that was
steal.
That was the guy. And I almost took him in the 3rd round. I had the 301. I wanted to take him there, but I felt like it was too much of a reach and that I would be able to get him in the 4th, and I did. He's on my taxi squad, which is kind of tough. I want to pull him, but that roster spot is kind of tough. Romeo Doubs the rest of the year.
Pick.
Is he top 30 from here on out. I think that one's pretty well in reach, but you never know. There's lots of cooks in the kitchen in Green Bay, honestly.
I'm going to smash that, actually, that he beats the wide receiver 30 mark. I think compared to Drake London's start to the season, Dobbs has been a little bit slower to emerge. But two touchdowns in his last two games, or one touchdown in each of his last two games, I should say. But I think you're starting to see him earn a little bit of Rodgers' trust as the season's progressed.
Which is a big deal.
Which is a huge,
huge deal.
And this is just me as somebody that's watching a football game on TV, just like watching how the Packers offense is working. It looks like Dobbs is getting those, like, I don't even know what you'd call it. Just like the Devontae Adam plays or
right.
targets almost. Like, just go yeah. up and make a play. You have single coverage. I'm just going to throw the ball up and, like, I trust that you're going to go get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to continue. Conversely, Christian Watson has not gotten that. I mean, he's getting involved in this offense via, like, reverses, jet sweeps, whatnot. It's just trying to get the ball in his hands to see if he can make a play, but it's really – there's not a lot of trust there that he's going to run a correct route, beat a guy. I really like Dobbs for the rest of the season. I think he can possibly even rival Lazard as the wide receiver one up there.
Yeah, I agree.
So after the first 2 weeks, he had 57 and 37% of the snaps. These past 2 weeks, he's on the field 89% of the time and 96% of the time. So. Wow. 8 targets in both. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Christian Watson was on the field for 25% of the snaps against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Very concerning.
Very concerning.
He was a guy that I loved in the draft also. Like,
you did. I was not a believer.
Him and Jahan Dotson, I was really big on. Like, because those were two guys that were in the realm of possibility of falling to the Chiefs. Because they weren't the high end guys, but they were still like second round talent very easily. So yeah, I'm shocked that Watson hasn't been better. Next on the list is Chris Olave. This is one I'm gonna just let you guys have it. I'm not as high on him as either of you. So Leighton, take it away. I think you love this guy.
He's the only bright spot on my team, so I need to talk about him. I just actually got him in most of my other leagues. I thought about trading for him in the Dynasty League, but he will not get traded to me. So the weird thing about Olave is he's on the field a lot, but not like anything crazy, like 74, 75, 77, 68% of the snaps. Like, that's a lot, but it's not like what I just mentioned with Dobbs. But the one thing is when he's playing, he gets a lot of catches and targets. So he had – the past 3 weeks, he's had 7 targets, 13 and 13. Obviously, this past week was a little bit more rough because Andy Dalton was starting. And it was against the Vikings, who actually have a low-key good secondary. But, I mean, I think he's an instant start the rest of the season. Even when, you know, Thomas and Landry come back. I mean, that didn't stop him earlier, so. Mate.
Yeah. Nope. I am a big Olave fan. I actually traded Leighton Olave last week, which is kind of tough to do. I feel like I kind of took a swing on getting Kamara, which hasn't really panned out yet, but I'm hopeful as the season goes on. But a very interesting stat I found about Olave. I don't know how much you guys pay attention to air yards. Do you pay attention to those, either of you?
I don't pay attention to them, but I've heard the hype on Olave.
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna kind of piggyback off that hype. So air yards is basically a stat that's tracked that sums up the total receiving yards that are intended for a wide receiver. And so the air yards includes completed passes and incomplete pass targets to the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, this isn't a very good setup, but can you guess who's leading the NFL in air yards?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins.
It is Chris Olave. And do you guys want to wager how much he's beating the next guy by right now?
Is this after week four?
This is after week four. I believe. I believe so.
I thought he was beating him by like 50 or 60 yards.
I bet it's more than that.
So the second guy in this category is Tyreek Hill.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, 50 or 60, I thought.
I bet it's like 130.
It was a lot bigger before week four, but I don't know about after.
He is beating Tyreek Hill by 220 air yards. Chris Olave has racked up 673 air yards through 4 weeks, and Tyreek Hill is at 453.
It's the power of Jameis.
Honestly, though.
So this is a stat where you look at it, it's like, what do you try and make of this? I mean, I think what my takeaway is that he's getting targeted on very explosive plays where he has the opportunity to come down with a big catch, rack up a lot of yards. Or another thing could be is Jameis is just hucking that thing out of bounds to the fourth row and just trying to get away from a sack or something. Like, who knows what that is? But I think what Layton was kind of saying was he's gotten a big target share. I think he's racking up a 25% target share in New Orleans right now, which is very encouraging, I think, since they have kind of a lot of mouths to feed over there. Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Alvin Kamara. So that's my big rah-rah for Chris Olave. kind of do with that what you want, but I really like Olave right now. I think he could be probably my guy that explodes as a superstar from this class.
Chris Olave has 25.2% of the targets so far this season. Just for context, Alvin Kamara has 7.
While you were making your case for Olave, Nate, I think I thought more about it. And he's one of those guys that I would never be attracted to in the fantasy world because, like, that's just not what I go after necessarily, like those big play guys. But I think from an effectiveness standpoint, touchdowns and big plays are just like the two key components that, like, you have to, like, seek out in the guys that you're either trading for or just like those opportunities. Because how many, like, to your point, how many people get that kind of, you know, chance to make the play, you know, on their offense? Obviously, there's 200 yards of separation between Chris Olave and Tyreek Hill. How much weight the stat holds, you know, in reality, that's one thing. But that's to this point, you know, if he catches two or three of those balls, we're talking about a 20-plus point fantasy difference. So he easily could be in the top 10 if he catches just a few of those passes, especially if one's for a touchdown. So
exactly.
The opportunity is definitely there.
I think the encouraging thing about it is just, like, as I look at this list, I mean, the people that are leading this category are big name receivers. Like I said, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Cortland Sutton, Hollywood Brown, Cooper Kupp.
Hollywood!
Like, those are all basically top 12 receivers, I would say. And Olave is beating them in that stat by over 200 yards. Like, I don't think that stat means nothing. But like you said, I mean targets, receptions, and touchdowns are probably the key drivers of a PPR wide receiver. Of like a PPR superstar. But I just think that's interesting. I mean, I'm encouraged to see him leading that category, and it's not like a Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That's like the guy right below him. Like, these are great wide receivers for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, even if he regresses more to the mean, I think he'll still be pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
Nope, that's all right. Moving on to our next wide receiver, we have Garrett Wilson. Kind of a concerning week for Garrett last week. Zach Wilson back at the quarterback position, no longer has Joe Flacco throwing to him. And it was statistically his worst performance. And from a snap percentage, it was his highest involvement on the field. Those are numbers that you don't want to see going in opposite directions. 77% of snaps. He had 6 targets, 2 receptions for 41 yards, which is 6.1 fantasy points. Leighton, are you sounding the alarm on Garrett Wilson? Are you buying low? Where do you stand with him?
Sorry, I was just looking at his target percentage because I don't know why. Like, I'm not trying to dunk on Zach Wilson, but I don't know what he does. Like, he doesn't make any sense, if I'm being honest. So I was looking when Joe Flacco was the starter. Garrett Wilson was getting almost 22% of the target shares, and Zach Wilson comes back, and now he's getting 16%. Which is still okay, but you're on the Jets. So, you know, it's...
Boom, roasted.
I was just laughing because I was like, week 2, when he had his boom game, he had 31% of the targets. And even after that, it was like 20. And week 1, you know, his first game in the NFL, 15%. And then Zach Wilson comes back, 16. Guess who the leading target guy was? You guessed it. Corey Davis.
Beast.
A beast. But, I mean, Garrett Wilson's obviously really talented. I was worried. Like, if I had Garrett Wilson, I would have instantly tried to trade him just because I don't trust Zach Wilson really when – because every time he comes back or he gets hurt, I swear a new receiver, like, goes off.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you can – I don't know. There's several guys in that offense. Like Elijah Moore is going to play a role. Is it Tyler Conklin? Is that the tight end who's Conklin? Yes. Nate, how do you feel about Garrett Wilson?
So I am the Garrett Wilson holder in our league, and I definitely was trying to trade him through his first 3 weeks. I was a little bit worried as I heard that Zach Wilson was coming back. That I think the favorite target option would shift back to Elijah Moore, which is kind of what I was scared of and kind of what we saw during last season. But I don't know. Honestly, how I'm kind of seeing it is there's basically 3 guys in New York right now on the Jets. And I don't know if there's that much separated.
There's 53 players on the team, mate.
All right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, So I don't think that there's much difference maybe in Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, and Garrett Wilson. I don't think he's basically proven himself to be the best option out of those guys. And so I don't think you're going to see maybe the target share favorite him in that way. I think it's probably just going to get spread out between the 3 of them. It might be kind of a guy where it's just like, you know, maybe this is his week. This is the week that Garrett Wilson pops off. Let's hope. Let's pray. Let's start him. But he's a pretty good, I would say, wide receiver depth piece to have because we have seen him have a boom game. I think he went for 30-plus a couple weeks ago. So at least you know that he has that in the bag. Hopefully, as he spends more time with Zach Wilson, maybe they can get things hashed out.
Can't forget about Breece Hall in the offense either. Definitely a threat to take away some of those targets. I'll buy low on Garrett Wilson. I'll buy the overreaction to the lack of targets and the abundance of snaps. I think he could be a trade candidate because you're probably not going to have to give much. And worst case scenario, you drop him in 2 weeks anyways. Treylon Burks. Speaking of dropping.
Come on, man. He just got hurt.
Yeah, well, he wasn't good before. I was talking about this at work today. The fact that the Titans, and looking, I understand 100% why they did it, but this could just blow up in their face if Treylon doesn't work out because AJ Brown obviously having a very productive and beneficial season in Philadelphia. He did get paid, but really the contract, and I looked up his contract today. It's very interesting what he's getting in bonuses and when he could potentially. I mean, I don't anticipate him getting cut, but there's a point after, I think it's after the second year of that contract extension where the Eagles could get out of that or arrange something to work on the money. Anyway, if the Titans could have structured something like that, I bet Mike Vrabel would do it right now if he could go back in time and have that opportunity again. Back to Treylon Burks. He hasn't been good. I'm not buying he should be on your waiver wire. I don't really like the future for the Titans. I think it's just Derrick Henry, and that's the only person who should be on your roster. Do you guys feel any differently?
Nope. I am totally in agreement.
All right, good. Moving on. George Pickens could be on your waiver wire, could be a priority add. Kenny Pickett is starting this week. Yep. Does that change anything? Does that give him a boost? Does it not? How do you guys feel? I mean, this is a kind of a weird situation. Leighton, what do you think?
Oh, man, you would have to give me George. Well, I guess I'm last in the waiver priority, so it doesn't matter. But I'm trying to pick him up in our league. I think he could be about to go off, if I'm being honest. Because, so I was taking a look, and obviously, you know, the first couple weeks weren't exactly, you know, ideal if somebody like drafted him was hoping to get something out of him. But he still played 71 and 85% of the snaps the first 2 weeks. And these last 2 weeks, still at 76 and 70%. But over the past 2 weeks, he's gotten 7 targets and 8 targets, you know, kind of. Statistically, so his target share is going up, and in the game, I find it hilarious. The game that Kenny Pickett plays in, George Pickens has over 100 yards catching and 6 catches. So I didn't watch the game because the Steelers are horrendous to watch, and I'm not saying he's going to be like a top 20 guy, but I mean, he could be. I was looking at the target for week 4. First of all, Pat Freiermuth led the way, 35% of the targets last week.
Wow.
But George Pickens had 31% of the target share last week. And the week before that, he had 22%. So if you take out the first 2 weeks, which you could say is, you know, just being a rookie or whatever, he could be about to blow up. So it's definitely somebody. If you have an empty roster spot or your team's really bad, like I don't know whose, but I want to pick him up.
Nate, how do you feel?
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I'm feeling about George Pickens is if you have a guy that you can drop or you have an open roster spot, I would absolutely take a swing on Pickens. If we've got Kenny Pickett coming in, who's maybe a more talented quarterback than Trubisky, maybe a little bit more aggressive in his play style. I think that all works in favor of George Pickens, maybe being a little bit more fantasy relevant. So I would take him if it doesn't. I mean, you're kind of just doing it on a limb to see that it works out with Pickett. Maybe there's something there. And after 1 week, if we don't really see much from Pickens, in the Steelers offense, you have no obligation to hang on to him, and you can drop him right away and go for somebody else. But I just think if you're not doing anything with that last roster spot, I mean, take a swing.
Does it hurt at all that they're playing in Buffalo this week? That is an atrocious game to have Kenny Pickett's first start in the NFL.
No.
That's tough, but they will be losing. I already saw that they're 14-point underdogs, so they're going to be losing, so they're going to be threatened.
I saw that was, like, the first time that that's happened since I can't – let me see if I can find the notification.
Yeah, points.
It was, like, the first time they've been 14-point underdogs in the history of the Steelers organization.
Right.
Or something like that. Like, it's At least in like the last four years.
It's a tweet from Shefty. Pittsburgh is a 14-point underdog in Buffalo. Pittsburgh is the only team since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger to never be at least 14-point underdogs. Pittsburgh's largest underdog role since the merger is plus 13.5 against Dallas in Super Bowl 30.
Wow.
When they lost by 10. That is wild. In a Super Bowl, a team was a 13.5 point dog. Wow. That's wild.
Pretty crazy.
I'm going to fade George Pickens. I think that he's going to be a wasted early priority, and then he's going to be dropped after this week because they have a horrible game against the Bills. I think you'll it's a hot take, and it's a risk because he could have a 20-point game. You know, it's all within the realm of possibility. I just don't think with where he falls, I would be surprised if he had that many opportunities next week. Quality opportunities.
I did want to say I thought you were done, but you weren't. They do play the Bills and then the Bucks. So
Let somebody else add him.
I
almost promise you'll be able to get him on just a straight ad in 3 weeks. But,
I did revoke my request as soon as I saw they played the Bucks after the Bills. So there you go.
Breece Hall. He is the last player on our list. He is currently the running back 17, although to me it feels like he's been better than that. He's had performances of – oh, no, this is very interesting. Before, there must be a scoring differential between our Dynasty League and our ESPN League of Record because – before the show, we were talking about running backs who had scored double-digit points in every week. Sleeper says that Breece Hall scored 9.1 points in week one. So we'll have to – one of you guys go check that on ESPN. 9.1, 13, 15.2, and 15.8 points to this point, according to Sleeper. Maybe I'm just – crazy, but I'm pretty sure that ESPN said that he had 10.
It's 10.1, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it say he had 6 receptions?
6 receptions, yeah.
38 yards.
Yep, so that'd be 9.
Wait, he did fumble.
He did have a fumble.
Oh, that's it. So the sleeper scoring, the sleeper standard scoring is if you fumble, it's like minus a point, and then a lost fumble is -2. So if you fumble and lose it, it's -3 rather than just -2. So that's the difference. I've noticed that before. Anyway, back to Breece Hall. I really like where the Jets are headed, honestly. I know that sounds weird. I think that they could actually be a pretty solid team, I think. I think that they could end up beating the Patriots at least once. Maybe they shock somebody down the line. I think that they have the offense to do it. So it's kind of all on Zach Wilson's shoulders, but we know how Leighton feels about him. What does he even do? So
I don't know.
I like Breece Hall. I think he's a utility guy. He had great stats in college, and I think he's kind of just getting warmed up like Dameon Pierce, to be totally honest.
I don't know how they win any more games.
Wow.
Just looking at their schedule. Sorry, not to be that guy.
Not to be that guy.
Hate on your take. But, I mean, they do play the Broncos, so that's pretty much a cupcake win, right?
So they got the Dolphins at home loss, Packers in London, if I remember correctly. Or are that's the Packers in London this week?
They're in London this week.
Okay. At Green Bay, at Denver, home against New England, home against Buffalo. Mm-hmm. At New England versus the Bears, at Minnesota, at Buffalo, home against Detroit, home against Jacksonville, at Seattle, at Miami. I think they can win like 4 or 5 of those games. Honestly, I think they have a decent chance.
Okay.
Anything's possible.
Sure. You just got to believe.
They can beat the Bears. It's no question. They can.
Okay. They can beat the Bears.
They could beat the Patriots once. They could beat the Broncos.
That's true. So it's,
and they could beat they could beat the Lions, and they could beat the Jags, and they could beat the Seahawks.
I think the Lions will get better.
I think the Jags and the Lions, between one of those games, I think they'll win one.
The Jags will smoke the Jets.
That's fine. Then they'll beat the Lions.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Breece Hall. How do you like him?
He's good at football.
Is he top 12 by the end of the year?
Well, at the rate the running backs are going, yeah, why not?
Whose ceiling is higher, Damian Pierce or Breece Hall?
Pierce.
Nate?
I'll probably say Breece. And, yeah, I do think I would take Breece. 12 is a good line, honestly. I think
so that was the stat
around there.
That was the stat coming into the season, that it had been like 7 years since a fantasy rookie running back had not finished a top 12 on the year. So Leighton and I were talking about that. It's going to be Breece or it's going to be Damian Pierce.
Yeah,
but coming into the year, it was Breece.
I was going to say Pierce because he's in a much weaker position.
It's fair.
You know, easier schedule. Yeah. But.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he'll have more touches too. Yeah. I don't think that one's a question really. So
Michael Carter for the win.
Oof. RIP. Well,
what do you mean RIP? Did he get hurt?
No, he just he was the guy last. Hyped him up so much, and then they drafted Breece Hall.
I feel like this is something. I don't know if it's just the sports media. Wow, this has been going on a long time. I'm sorry. The last point is, I feel like every year the media picks out one guy on the Jets that they just really like for some reason. Oh, Michael Carter's blowing up camp.
Well, last year I remember it was Elijah Moore. I remember Dez Bryant tweeted like, "Oh, this kid's gonna be like offensive player of the year," and it was like, "What?" Which he was fine, but
good.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, that'll probably do it for us then. Follow us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps. Sorry, this one went a little bit long, but only one podcast this week, so just break up your listen time. And like I said, reach out to us on Instagram if you want to get your question on the podcast. We might start bringing that back. We'll see. We'll see how much our advice helps Christian, and we might determine it from there. So. Thanks, guys, for watching, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.